All right, everybody, this is the Georgia Songbirds, and we are here with a special guest, Miss La La Luna.
Hello, everyone.
So you came all the way from where?
Well, depends on how far back we're talking. Are we talking today?
We'll start today, but because you're originally from?
I'm originally from Colombia. So yeah, the way. Country. So that is a couple thousand miles away. But in regards to today, I'm coming from South Atlanta.
Okay, so not too far.
Not too far. It's like an hour away.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now I met Lala in a couple months ago, like at Macon Street Tacos.
Yeah.
That's where we're doing Kenny Owens, a buddy of ours, does a open mic there. And that's where I met you. Mm-hmm. So for people that are listening to the show that's never heard of you, kind of explain your story. Because, I mean, coming from Columbia to Georgia to Florida to Nashville is a story in itself.
Yeah.
So let everybody know how you did that.
Oh, my goodness. So it's been quite a wild ride. But when I was in Columbia, I really knew that I wanted to, you know, be in the entertainment industry. And I fell in love with the idea of writing music and, you know, making music videos and just really storytelling and capturing my life experience through songs. So okay. I honestly, I was like too young to know that I could do that in Colombia. So I was like, Mom, I gotta go to the United States. Like, we gotta like make this happen there. And I also really loved the country itself. Like, I would come and visit almost every year. And I always felt like when I was here, I was like, there's something about the energy that is just like, it feels like I really belong here. Like, I don't know what's going on. But I also, like, it was one of my biggest dreams, not just to move here, but then to like actually start, you know, pursuing songwriting and singing and acting and all those things. So yeah, we finally made the trip over. And soon after I graduated from high school, first of all, I didn't even want to go to college because I was like, why do I need to go to college if I'm just going to be making music? Like, that doesn't make any sense. But I ended up going to this school for a little bit called Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee, yep. Which was one of like the best experiences of my life. It just really opened up my eyes to, you know, how real this career was. I think for a bit I was like, I don't look or sound like the people that, you know, do country music. And I look up to them so much. Like, I have a bunch of, like, my favorite artists are all country stars. But it was really interesting because, like, there wasn't a lot of diversity because it is, you know, it's a... but I was... I think when I was in Nashville, I was like, you know what? Like, there's not... I'm not currently being represented, but that's okay because it means that I can step up to the plate and be the voice, and all the little young girls that, you know, potentially really like country music too, but like don't think that they can do it. Like, just in the position that I was, I think for a moment there, I didn't think that I could do it. And so like, I realized that I could become that person and I could be the face that I really wanted to see as well. So but yeah, it took me from Nashville. Then I had like some family stuff that I wanted to help out with, my family business down in Florida. So I went back, and honestly, it's been quite a trip to get here. And now I'm in Georgia, which, you know, it's kind of a wild card. You know, a lot of people are like, why Atlanta? Why Georgia? You know, but honestly, I've really fallen in love with this city, and the people here are amazing. And everyone has been so inviting and welcoming. And especially in Atlanta, I don't find a lot of country artists either. So yeah. I kind of become like the one girl, the single girl with like the guitar. Everyone else has like backing tracks and stuff like that. So it's been really fun
I played in Atlanta. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So it's always been really like, it's been really fun to like be a little different and stand in that difference. So yeah, this has kind of been my story for as of right now.
Nice. You said your family's business. What do they do?
So we have a couple businesses, but in Florida, we had a hair salon and a barbershop. We still have the barbershop.
My dad used to be a barber.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When he was alive, he had his own barbershop. He had, it's called a Country Cuts. I can't believe I remember that.
Country Cuts.
But it's spelled with a K.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
For Kenneth, because his name was Kenneth, so it was like Country Cut.
Oh, really? Yeah. I just thought it was like kind of like just for funsies. the country. But yeah, no, I ended up managing the barbershop for a little bit there, and it was really interesting because like everyone there was like double my age, mm-hmm. and I was totally not a barber, so I ended up like learning a couple things about cutting hair and, you know, like shaving people's heads and mm-hmm. stuff. There were a couple of customers that were kind enough to let me practice on them, but it was really important for me to like know what the barbers were going through, you know, like if I'm going to manage you and like try and tell you like what to do or like what not to do, like I better, you know, put myself to work and see like what it actually is.
Yeah, that's smart.
To do that.
That's smart know? That you do that, because you don't want to go in. This, I always get, when I get my hair cut, it's funny, but like I tell you, we get sidetracked on the show, and that's completely fine. I like doing it. When I get my hair cut now and they for tip, I'm like, oh, you can survey for your hair. I'm like, why would I survey my hair? It's cut. If you messed it up, it's what happened. It's done. It's going to grow back. I mean, I don't really care because I'm a guy. Girls I know care more about their hairstyles than we do.
Yeah.
If it's messed up, I can just buzz it and wait for it to grow back and then do it again.
Right.
So. Right. They still run it now? You said you have other businesses too, or do they do?
Yeah. It's mostly the barbershop, and my mom does a little bit of real estate here and there. But in Colombia, we used to have a couple of like steakhouses, like restaurants.
Okay.
Yeah, so that used to be our thing, which is really funny because I'm vegetarian. So that was an interesting news to break to my family.
Have you always been vegetarian?
No. I started when I was 16. There was like a moment of like I love steak. Like, don't get me wrong, it's like so delicious. If anything, when we went to like Rodizio's and steakhouses, I was like the person that would like go up like four times to like five times to get more and more steak. Like, I love the taste of it, but it got to a point where like I think I was just lying to myself, because like I'm super big animal nature lover. Like I just like I make friends with every single animal, no matter how small. So like I started realizing like I wouldn't kill this animal myself. Like, I can't see why I'm like continuing to lie to myself uh-huh. that it's like okay to eat it right now.
See, now the way you make it sounds so funny, because to me, this in my head, when you say I came out as a vegetarian, I'm like, wait a minute. That would have been a joke that I played on my parents. I was like, all right, guys, sit down. I have to talk to you.
Yeah.
I've been working through this my whole life, and I don't know how to tell you, mom, dad. I'm a vegetarian.
That was so true. I was literally like that. Like, I think my dad was like, I mean, my mom like had such a hard time, like, you know, handling that. Like, for a bit, she would tell me like, cause she was scared that I was
just
like
a phase.
Yeah, no, yeah. First of all, they thought it was a phase. Absolutely. Second of all, they like, my mom was like scared that I wasn't gonna get like the nutritional like stuff, and that I was gonna like get weak or something. So like, sometimes it was a little toxic, I will say. But she would tell me something was vegetarian, but then like blend either like ham or something like in it, so I wouldn't like taste it. or like she would make me like soup, but before like tell me it was vegetarian, but then like dunk a bunch of like meat in it, like swirl it around, take it out. I didn't know. I was just like so trusting. But yeah, as of right now, she's like super respectful of it, and she like understands the reasons why I do it, and I've given her like all the scientific data that I needed to, so now it's just like, okay, well,
I know the biggest comeback that I get for vegetarian is Tom Brady, because he's
Tom Brady.
Yeah,
he's vegetarian.
I think he's actually vegan. He may be vegan.
King. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Oh my god, I need to start using him. I'm like, yes. Hey, did you know Tom Brady was vegan? No.
Yeah,
yes.
He's vegan or vegetarian, but he's one of the two.
Yeah.
So yeah, he doesn't eat meat either.
No, yeah. And I mean, I'm like super into working out and like doing gym. I do acro yoga. I do like a lot of different things. I'm like really active, and I use a lot of energy. Like I literally don't stop moving. So for me, it's like, if anything, I love food, and it's made it so I have to actually eat more food. And like, that's just, and like, I don't like gain the weight or anything. So it's like a win-win on all fronts.
When I was younger, because you talked about your acting and modeling and stuff too. When I was younger, they can't see it, but you can see back there that's what I used to be. I used to do that too. I don't know if you can see that screen, that board.
Oh, shoot. That's your comp card.
Yep. That's my comp card. And I used to do that when I was younger.
Oh my goodness.
I ended up breaking my back, and I couldn't. I'm not supposed to run, and I'm not supposed to lift more than 25 anymore. Because you can tell I was big in a bodybuilding. I loved working out.
Yeah.
I was a good looking kid. I'm like, what am I going to do? So eat. I can't eat. If I ate that much vegetarian, I'd probably be David Plant in the damn yard.
Yeah, yeah. It's really funny because, like, when I'm really hungry, I'm like, dang, I could eat a freaking tree right now.
Like, oh, I could eat a cow. Yours is, I could eat a tree. That is fun. You know, this is a first for a lot of, this is first, guys. It's hilarious. First of all, you guys, this is all audio, but Luna, she brought her video set up, and she's got her lights and stuff pointed at us. And so this is the first time that we had lighting set up, which I think is pretty cool.
Amazing.
And then the lifestyle choice of a vegetarian, that is something I will never forget. It is hilarious to me. It's just, I want to make a movie now of somebody coming out as a vegetarian, and it would be hilarious. I don't know if you ever seen that movie, I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry.
No.
They were firemen, and his wife died, so he needed benefits, so they pretended to be gay. So they had to come out as gay. So now I'm thinking of a comedy movie of them coming out to being vegetarian.
That would be, I would watch that.
That would be.
I would send that to my entire family. I'm like, I wonder whose story sounds similar to this.
It's so funny the way things line up. Like, you're from Columbia originally.
Yeah.
And I had another, they had to reschedule, but I had another guest on a Zoom like around 4:00
mm-hmm.
That was going to come on here. They are Columbia too, but he also does producing of like Shakira and Jennifer Lopez, and his daughter is, I think she's 16 now. Her name is Leah Garza. His name is Javier, and they were going to come on. So it's funny that the way it lined up that both of you guys come from that Hispanic background, Latin background. And it always amazes me. I mean, I didn't even think about it when we set it up. I set you up, and then she reached out. It's like, yeah, let's get Javier on. And then to hear your story.
I need to meet Javier.
Yes.
What? You need to get us together.
I'm trying to work. That's what I like to do with the podcast.
Is right.
Anybody who knows me, it is a conversation style piece that we do. One of the things that we do. We do album reviews where I'll never critique. It's not about critiquing. It's about the stories, and it's about the songwriters, the journeys. Because you mentioned everybody has a different story. And you're coming into country music from a genre that usually is not considered country. So, like, they don't have Colombian country stars. But you wouldn't think about it. But, I mean, you listen to the radio now, the stuff on there isn't a country that I grew up with.
Right.
It changes. So you totally could come in and get a market. You just got to find that right sound
mm-hmm.
that they want to hear.
Exactly.
And I always tell everybody, I believe everybody has at least one hit in them. A lot of people have more. That's what you want. But everybody at least has one.
One.
So I think that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool that you're trying to get in that lane. And I know the last time I've been to Nashville, there's a lot of different styles that play out that probably don't get heard.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool.
Yeah, and honestly, you'd be really surprised, like, being from Colombia, like, it's not very different from, like, the country lifestyle. Like, mm-hmm. I honestly grew up going to my farm with horses and, like, being out and just, like, hanging out with my bunnies and chickens and, like, you know, like, I was, like, in, like, I had, like, we were growing carrots, like, you know, like I was very much in like a slow living lifestyle, like, besides just going to school. But I would love just like going to the farm and just like hang out with animals. Like, honestly, that's why like I'm like super into nature and super into like just being around other creatures, because I just like grew up like on the side of a mountain, just like, you know, climbing trees and that's like almost like my definition of country, right? Like, it's not like there's various different ones, but it's like, it's not like I'm just like a super city girl being like, I sing country music. Like, no, like I have some dirt on me, you know, like I'm not afraid. Not afraid to scoop up poop. God.
See, that's about as country you get right there is having to be. When we lived, like, this is all family on land. I own all the stuff now. That was mm-hmm. my mom's house there. We got a family graveyard behind us.
Yeah.
And then the bottom stuff was my grandmother's. All that stuff is back to family. But I remember when I was little, we lived in South Georgia in Eatonton, Putnam County. And we had cows and we had chickens. And I remember when they'd cut the heads of chickens, sometimes they would run around headless.
Oh.
And that scares you when you're 5 years old.
Yeah.
And then the cows, I remember we had a bottle feed to cows. And I remember that stuff. So yeah, I can completely understand the background.
I loved going to like different farms and bottle feeding like goats and pigs. And like, that's literally what I love doing that. And also like milking cows. It's really funny now. Like, I feel like when I was in Nashville, like, I like met so many people that had never milked a cow before. And I'm like,
yeah, you won't find many anymore.
No, exactly. And I'm like, y'all listen, I know I don't look like it, but I think I'm a little bit more country than you are. It's really funny because I like go in between like wanting to, you know, pursue music and also just like actually saying goodbye and like, you know, living out in the middle of like the woods. So it's like such a duality to like have in tide, you know?
Yeah. Because you got to be present to win, that old saying, you know, when you're in Nashville, you got to be there and you got to walk the streets. And you got to hustle and do whatever you can to get it in, right?
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned you're going to Belmont, and you're doing acting, modeling stuff now too, as well.
So right now, since I'm in Atlanta has a lot of like movie industry things going on. So I definitely like am updating my headshots and like my resume and stuff like that. I do have like a quite a bit of acting background, so I was like, might as well, if I'm already here, might as well submit for stuff. I'm not doing a lot of modeling anymore. But yeah, no, like my main focus is really just like songwriting, crafting songs, finding people that want to like craft songs with me. Okay. And then, you know, sending in auditions here and there when I see something that I like.
At the end, I'll have to get some info from you because my son Gibson is trying to get into the modeling stuff to make money for NASCAR. Oh. His dream is to race.
Nice.
And so he's a good kid. He wants to like make whatever he can to do. So have you been in any movies or anything we've seen?
So not as a lead yet. Okay. Right now, like what I do a lot is background work.
Oh, so extra work.
As the extra work, which honestly for me, it's like even that is like such a dream come true. Mm-hmm. I feel like I grew up like not really like knowing. I knew how like filming worked, but just like actually being there with like the director and like, you know, the cinematographers and like the, like I get my hair and makeup done like every time I do it, and seeing like the behind the scenes of like crafty, you know, like little things that like I literally look around and I'm like, I'm literally living my dream right now. Like even though I'm not like the lead, like who cares, like I'm right. Literally here. And like there's a couple movies I've been in. I worked on Blue Beetle. I don't know if you saw that one.
Oh, I love that movie, yeah.
Yeah, it's been really fun to, like, get, like, random screenshots of myself, like...
So, can you see yourself in the movie?
Yeah, it's not, like, I'm not, like, front and center, but, like, my friends and family, like, knew that I had worked on it, and so, like, they have been the ones sending me, like, is this you? I think this is you, like, blah, blah. And also, I've done, like, The Resident. That one, I was front... That was, like, the first time I ever saw myself on TV, like in a movie or a film. Mm-hmm. So I've seen myself like an award shows before, but never like for an actual film or like a TV show that I had done. It was like on Hulu itself, and like I was like, mom, like we should check if the episode is out. The episode was out, we like watched it, and I'm literally like front center in the screen. It's like one of the closing scenes, and like the moment we saw that, like I wish I would have recorded that moment, because me and my mom just like screamed at the top of at the top of my lungs, and like literally just like started jumping around like crazy. Mm-hmm. We're like, oh my god, like right. It was so fun. And I was like, yeah, like that's, yeah, I was like, wow, this is pretty crazy. This is like real.
I've been in two movies, and I remember because you're there for like 12 hours and you get like 10 seconds, 15 seconds if you're lucky, yeah, screen time.
Yeah.
But I remember the first one was a TNT movie, Passing Glory. It was a basketball movie.
Okay.
And I'm one of the customers coming into the shop, and you actually see me walking in with a holding the door, and then you see my face as I shoot by. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then the big one was Remember the Titans. With Denzel Washington.
Ooh, nice.
And I was a cop in that one. So that's the first time they did the hair and the makeup. Not much. They kind of shaved my neck. Guys, they don't have to do as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the cops. And I literally was there for, like I said, maybe 10 hours. And it's all of like a half, maybe a 2-second shot of the back of my head.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's me. I can tell. That's my hair.
That's your hair. I know. That's like, we always have like a joke. It's like, all you can just like, I promise that's me. I promise that's my hair. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like trying to convince people. But no, I honestly really love the gig, because not just, you know, get like a bunch of food and like,
oh yeah,
like literally it's such a feast and so many snacks, but like a lot of the times you're like not doing much, so you're just sitting there, and that's the time where I just like sit and like craft on my own personal things. Like I sometimes like bring my guitar, like and I sing to like the extras there sometimes, and or just like network around, see like what cool people are in the town, or where I like edit my own content, like music videos. So like for me it's like perfect, you know. Yeah. The most recent project that I think, like, I had a camera, like, literally in my face, like, most of the time was You're Cordially Invited. And that one's coming out with, like, Reese Witherspoon and, like, Will Ferrell and stuff like that. It's, like, really crazy to, like, see so many of my, like, favorite actors, like, mm-hmm. up close and personal and, like, being able to, like, breathe their air. I'm like, oh, my God, you're a human being. Like, you know? So that one's going to be coming out soon. I don't know when. And I am going to be doing, I am part of a reality TV show that is coming out. That one, I guess I was a lead on because okay. I was like, I was part of the reality TV show. But I don't know how much I can say about that because I know it's coming out this year.
Okay.
But well, I am under contract for that one, so okay. I can't so say
we,
much.
Well, when it does come out, remind me and we'll tag everything into it.
Amazing. So yes, let's do that.
But like I said, guys, we'll get sidetracked, obviously. We're here for music, so you're doing your music.
Yes.
Let's get a song in and then we'll talk some more. So what's the first song that you want to do?
Okay. I think I should do...
The dog barking.
Yeah, the dog barking.
I don't forget what I asked you now.
You had asked me what song did I want to do first.
Oh yeah, what song did you want to do?
Yeah, so I thought like the best song to start with was the first song I ever put out, which is Sanity.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
Absolutely. So but now I'm a songwriter too. Mm-hmm. I love stories. So you gotta tell me the story of the song before we play it.
Oh goodness. So this song I wrote, honestly I hadn't written a song in like so long. And I was like, can I even like write anymore? Like, I don't even know if I can, but I was like, my brain was so clouded with, like I was going through this breakup and it was like really tough on me. And I just kept remembering everything that like me and this person had done that was like amazing. Mm-hmm. But I also knew that like they weren't the one for me. And I was the one to break everything up and cause a scene. And I knew that like, they had basically made me like their only friend, and I knew that like by breaking everything up, like I was basically just abandoning them to like for them to figure out like their lives. And that was really hard for me. I felt really guilty, but I also knew that like staying would just make like prolong the hurt. So it was kind of like this in between, and I felt like honestly I was losing my mind because I was like in like hurt by leaving, hurt by like staying, like I was just like I just had to, it was something that had to be done, but and now we're both good, but during that time I did feel like I was just, you know, going a little bit insane, driving everyone around me insane, just crying, and but at the same time feeling like super free, like I was like I'm never going back to that, like that was crazy, like I feel like so good. It was like I was experiencing so many rages of emotion and I was just like, yeah, I felt like I was just like, okay, I'm losing my mind.
Well, like I said, this is, guys, when we do live, so that you're going back recording. If we was outside, it would be gunshots. You'd hear gunshots and trucks and all kind of stuff. So, or if I used to put it inside and my kids would always walk through like the videos where they'd come in and talk.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I need a studio away from everybody. I don't know. But this is what you get when you get live people. So for let's sure. do your song. Let's get Sanity. Let's
okay,
get
awesome. Okay, this one's called Sanity. It's one of those nights I can't get out of my head. Waiting for a sign telling me it's time to go through with what I said 10 minutes ago, to let it all go, let my heartbreak flow out of my mind, out of my chest. Cause I don't wanna rewind, but I can't forget the way you kissed me in the dark, and I got high. The way you held me in your arms. recalling your face isn't serving me right. So this dancing night, I'm taking all of your weight off my back. I'm done feeling sad, cause it's driving me right into an abyss. And I'm trying to resist, cause I don't wanna reset, but I can't forget the way you kiss me in the dark, and I got high off your energy. Yeah. The way you held me in your arms, and we live it for eternity. Tell me, please, how do I leave half of my heart for my sanity? Oh, honey, you're driving me insane. Oh, baby, can't even hide sleep, cause you're haunting my dreams, saying you left me, and now you're killing me. Cause the way you kiss me in the dark, and I got high off your energy. Said I was your everything. Won't someone tell me, how do I leave half of my heart for my sanity?
The squeaky chair has returned, people. It was funny. We had a I had a guest come on here, and it was a band. It was the Betting on the Mule. They were recently. Their episode hadn't released
Betting on the Mule. Oh, on the Mule.
On the Mule. And they had squeaky chairs, and there was another guy. I cannot remember the band name. We episode released, but the squeaky chair was a big topic because he just kept doing it, and he loved the sound. Like, what's the squeaky chair? I get the squeaky chair. I'm like, yeah, when the studio guys gets finished, these squeaky chairs will be gone. You'll have nice, comfortable chairs, and they won't squeak. But in the meantime, it's what makes.
In the meantime, the squeaky chairs.
The Georgia Songbirds.
The Georgia
has
the
squeaky chairs.
Has squeaky chairs. It was more like during the song, I was like, trying not to.
I didn't hear it in there. Yeah. I heard like at the very end when you moved, but I didn't hear it throughout the rest of the thing.
Okay, that's good.
You're good.
Thank you.
It's part of his charm.
This is part of the charm.
The Georgia Songbirds and the Squeaky Chair. That'll be my next band. Dude, there's my pick. I was like, I had picks around here. I was like, you use that with yours. I like that. It's a very, I think it fits for a lot of younger girls.
Yeah.
If maybe older girls too, but for, I have a daughter who she's 14. And she just went through a breakup, and it sounds like a breakup song.
It definitely was a breakup song. Especially, like, being told for the first time by, like, a guy that you're, like, everything for them and, like, your entire life. And then just being like, sorry, I'm leaving. Like, so heartbreaking.
How old were you?
When I wrote this song, I was 21.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had just turned. So
just still young. Okay.
Yeah, it was my first breakup, too. So I was just, like, going through it. I'm still writing songs about it. It's fine.
Breakup songs are the best. I love breakup songs. I mean, it's sometimes when you're happy, I was like, how do I write a song? Because all my songs want to go dark. I'm like, okay, well, then I need to figure out a funny, because I'm good with either funny songs or sad songs, right? So, but the like the history and the kind of popish. You're on a popish side of it.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so. I've gotten that quite a bit. I have some other songs that are a little bit more like super twangy, but and I think I'm more in like the pop country realm if I have to put myself somewhere. You know?
Yeah, and that honestly, it doesn't honestly matter. You be you. Because if you want to make a lane for yourself and you want to be the first, then you got to be the first.
I got to be the first. And it's been really fun to like play around with different sounds in the studio. You know, like I go to record up in Nashville with this guy. His name's Drew. He's the best. So much patience for me. It's great. but yeah, so he usually does mostly like he does like a lot of different things, but he like focuses a lot on country music. So it's really great to have like that solid foundation of like what instruments can we put here, and then kind of like adding like the additional like I usually go like Drew, like I really want to like have this like kind of like magical mystical sound, like almost like wind chimes, but like not really. And he's like, I give him like so many tasks, and he's like, okay, let me see what I can figure out. But for example, for my song that I just put out, it's called Four Letters. Mm-hmm. That one, I really wanted to like, I really always have loved the sound of accordions. Because like, I think they're like one of the most romantic instruments out there, you know? Okay. And like, and it's also like a very like traditional Colombian instrument too. So I was just like joking, and I was like, oh, what if we just like put an accordion to my country song? He's like, I don't know, let's try it out. And he tried it out, and I fell in love. It's like literally my favorite part of the song now. It makes me feel like I have traveled to Venice or something. And it makes me feel like I'm being romanced, and it's just like really exciting to like play with different instruments that I don't feel like I normally hear on the radio or other artists doing, you know.
See, I have my producer always says I have musical Tourette, because I'm the same way. I'll put weird instrumentations in songs.
Yeah.
And the first song that I did had an accordion. I wanted a harmonica, and he didn't know how to play harmonica, so he had an accordion.
Yeah.
And he put the accordion. Like, that sounds actually pretty good.
Yeah, no, it totally does. Like it almost seems like natural for the accordion to be part of like the instrumentation, like between the banjo and the fiddle, like an accordion should be part of that like little mix. It seems so natural. But yeah, there's another instrument, I forgot what it is, but it's like a Scottish something. It's like a Scottish like piano looking thing.
Okay.
That I have and at the beginning of my song that's coming out soon. It's gonna be the last song that I put out from this project that I'm working on. And it's like really unexpected, but it's also like it brings so much like of like, because I have like a lot of like childish like spunk and joy, and it honestly like puts that into music. And the moment I heard that, I was like, oh my God, I'm sold, yeah. You know? So
there's nothing wrong with having childish spunk. And that's a funny way to say that, because you've heard it growing up, but that's childish spunk is a great visual for songwriters and for musicians, because you're playing music.
We're playing. Right. It's supposed to be like a game. It's supposed to be fun.
Right. It's got to be fun. And if you're not I know when you make it in all quotations and you get signed on a label is a business thing.
Yeah.
That's different. As when you start playing and you're out there trying to get discovered and trying to get played, if you're not having fun, then you're going to be one of the people that always just quits because you're not reaching your expectations.
Right. And the thing is, like, I even would disagree that like when you get like the business funding and like all that stuff, and it's like this is not a dream anymore, it's a business, you know, like I hear that a lot. I think that's like the moment where you should lean even more into playing and like experimentation, and like, yeah, like, because for me it's like you want to have fun making the project, right. And like be able to be like, oh my God, this was so much fun to make, because once you like head on stage, like you want to be able to convey that same joy, you know? It's not like, oh, this was so gruesome, like I hit myself like against my computer for like 50 hours and I, you know, like I hope you enjoy it, you know? Like, no, I think there should be like this like almost like, even like during my sad song, like Sanity, oh my God, I cried so much, like from tears of joy, just like making it. So when I like play it out, it's like, I try and carry that with me. Mm-hmm. But it is really hard to balance, because it's like, okay, now it's serious time. Like it's serious business, you know, like time. But I think as artists ourselves, like a lot of our creativity does come from just like having fun and, mm-hmm. and being able to experiment and like trying weird things. And like, no, we don't always have to use them, but if we're like constantly being like, oh my God, what is like this business person going to think about it? Or like, is my label going to drop me because I'm like, you know, trying out different things? Like, no, like if you're with under a label, like I think that like, at least myself, like I would only sign to a label if they actually believed in me, like mm-hmm. as a person, you know, as like the way that my brain thinks, like they've gotten to know a little bit of like the way, the ins and outs of like my creativity and, yeah. and my spunk. And like, then they, that means they have more faith in what I'm bringing to the table rather than just like, they liked one song. So yeah. now I have to make songs that sound just like it. Like that's so much pressure.
Do you want to be, do you see yourself more as an artist or a songwriter?
Oh God. I think both. I don't know like which one has more pull on me. I think songwriting has been one that like for me, like I've always like written poetry and like I've always just like written down like my experiences in my journal. Like when I didn't have like any friends, like I basically became my own best friend like through my journaling and stuff like that. So aww. Like yeah. So for me, like that always has like a really big piece of my heart, but I really appreciate like the artistry part of it, of like going out there mm-hmm. and like being on stage and like it, because it takes a lot for you to like break down all the walls of like caring what other people are thinking of you right. and actually being to freely and fully express yourself and being and fully feel what you're saying. So that in itself, it's like an art form that takes practice and it takes like a lot of just like self-assurance and love for it, because yeah, and then you get like you do like sometimes see in the audience of like someone looking at you like, and you have to be able to like, you know, push past that. But I really appreciate it, like the artistry side, like even just like coming up with the visuals. And like for example, like my my songs, I've basically made all the album artworks to them, and I've been I edit like my own music videos. And like for me, like it's incorporating not just this like, you know, the story that I was telling through this song and like through these instruments. Now I got to put them back into visual format, and like, how am I gonna, you know, show people visually what was happening, and like how out of like the norm, like out of what actually happened, do I want to go? Like, I don't know. It just, I just personally love just being creative. So for me, like I would even call myself a creative first, then an okay. artist, and then a songwriter, or maybe the other way around. I don't know. It's still working.
See, that's where I think where the issue when people like when you get discovered and you get signed is if you're an artist, you got a brand. That's what you want to be able to expand and try new things. You got to get established first.
Absolutely.
And then once you get your hits and you make money, then they'll let you do what you want. They'll let you try. If it doesn't make the money, like, okay,
in right
direction. But when like independent artists like ourselves, when you do all these things, we're doing photography, you're doing your promotion, you're doing your book, you're doing everything. Now, when you get signed, you got to let that go, because They're not taking you on to be their booker. They're not taking you on to be their manager. They're not taking you on to do the art. They're taking you on to be the singer, or this, if you sign with a publishing deal, the songwriter. Yeah. So you got to adjust. And I think that's what people have a hard time doing at, is it's not what you expect, but uh-huh. you're at the end of the day, you're still making music.
Honestly, I'm so excited for that day to come. Like doing my own bookings and doing my own management and stuff like that. Like it's been honestly like the biggest self growth experience mm-hmm. Ever. But I think I would love for all of that. Like I would honestly just be like, ah, oh, thank you. I've been waiting, you know. But I think in terms of like signing a record deal, I would hope that they like the visuals that I've created and like understand the vision that I'm going for mm-hmm. and want to like amplify that, you know. Like right now, let's say for my outfits, a lot of the times I'm like thrift shopping and like, you know, sewing a lot of the stuff myself, or like like I have a couple of guitar shops that I've like painted myself because like I can't find what I want out there, yeah. but like I know what I want for myself. So it would be more of like, okay, now instead of me having to paint it myself, now I can like have a record label kind of like help me like contact me with someone who, you know, makes straps for like a living or like can do this and like sit down with them and like have the ideas that I have up here and be able to do that with a professional that can, you know, like make that happen
right.
rather than like, cause yeah, like in a sense I'm basically just like, I have so many ideas that I think that like giving away my booking or my management, it's like the least of my worries. You know, it's like I'm just excited to be able to like constantly be in creative mode.
See, for me, and do you, I don't know if you see this on the video or not, but she said something about lip designer. I don't know what she said now, but like I've never had a sense of style at all.
Yeah,
at all. So I was like, somebody's like, style me, like, do whatever you want, I don't care, it's clothes. So when you mentioned something when you're putting on your lip designer, guys, what's, I don't remember what's called.
What?
When you did your lipstick, you said it was called yeah. something. Like,
oh, I was like, I didn't want to give concealer lips.
Okay, yeah. She said that word. That's a whole nother language. I had no idea. I wear jeans and shirts every day.
Yeah.
That's my style, you know, and I wear the same jeans a couple days. I don't care. So.
Right, right. I think it's been really interesting because, like, for me, on, like, a daily basis, I usually, like, barely wear any makeup or, like, I.
Me too.
No, yeah, yeah, right. Cause I love just like, I don't know. I usually don't focus that much on like what I look like mm-hmm. when I'm not, you know, Lala Luna, when I'm not like, you know, out here and playing my music and stuff like that. But usually I just like, I'm not really focused on what I look like. I'm mostly just focused on like having a good time. So, it's been really interesting to kind of like be like, okay, now I'm deciding what I want to be perceived as. So yeah. like now it's like how what do I want to be perceived as? Like how would like little Lala want me to dress up now? Like now that I have the money, now that I can do like whatever I want, like what would she want me to wear, you know? And it's yeah. a lot of like asking my younger self a lot of the times. Like she loves glitter. So I usually bathe myself in glitter and it's like I like there's just so much joy then that comes with that, you know, I feel like. So it's been really interesting and like almost like a lot of times I'm like I want to dress like a princess, like I can, you know. Yep. So it's like that's another thing, like yeah, it's been really really fun to like try and figure out like what is it that I want to wear, what I want to say, what I want to do, and you know, it's just
yes.
it's part of the whole artistry.
See, now you guys, like I said, I don't, she's doing video, she's got some stuff, she put it out. I don't ever do video because my internet's horrible, but you have such a great attitude that I hope you keep it, because that's what you're going to need to succeed. I think part of it is like I said, you got to be there, you got to get the opportunity, you got to show up. Other part of it is timing. There's timing and luck involved, because a lot of it is, yeah, you can be okay singer songwriter and still get found, because they'll put you with people that if they see your vision and they see what you see,
yeah,
and they see potential, then they'll put you with the better musicians or put you with a better team, whatever they have, whatever yeah. they want to do. But I think the one thing that happens is like the attitude, but you have such a great attitude.
And thank you.
Like I said, the childish spunk that you mentioned earlier, I can feel it coming off of you. I can see it. It's hilarious. I'm enjoying the company for you being here, because
thank
it's,
you.
It's contagious. And I hope really keep this attitude, because you're, that's what's going to get you farther than anything else, because you're going to get doors slammed in your face. You're going to get told no. You're going to tell we don't have that kind of style. You mentioned before you want to be the first Colombian country singer. Okay, well, that's a big wall to climb.
It's a big wall to climb.
You better be happy the whole time you do it. And
right.
I know you can't always be happy. We get it. You can't be on all the time. But to keep that inner spark that you have will help you grow as far as you can possibly go. And maybe you don't get the destination you want, but maybe you inspire somebody else. Who does?
I mean, that would be crazy.
Yep.
That would be crazy. Both sides, you
yes.
know? And I think right now I'm just like, I think there was, like I said, like there was a point in time where I didn't really think that any of this was possible for me, like at all. Like I don't know what I would think. I was just like living in like victim mindset or something, or mm-hmm. just like completely believing that like, because I don't see anyone that looks like me or like, you know, something like that. It's like, I taught myself how to sing too. Like, I taught myself how to write music, how to play my guitar. So, like, all of these things have been, like, I didn't think I could do it, but I, like, every day I would still, like, try and show up and be like, okay, but maybe, like, if I just get a little bit closer and a little bit closer, you know, like, you know, and maybe I did, like, my first open mic, like, 2 years ago in January, actually, yeah. So, that was, like, the first time that I ever even, like, showed people, like, strangers my songs, and just, like, see how well people have responded to it, and seeing how, like, it has just been opening doors for me. I mean, for me, like, that's magical, you know? Like, for me, I'm, like, already living my dreams. For me, it's, like, even, yeah, just having, like, this conversation, talking about, like, my music, it's, like, what? Like, absolutely, like, great, you know? So it's, like, the more, like, for, and, like, I'm still, like, such a baby. Like, I'm still getting started. So, like, for me, it's, like, I mean, I can't even imagine where I'm going to be, like, 5 or 10 years, you know?
It's, that, like, was my question that I was about to ask you. Like, where do you see yourself in, you know, 5 to 10 years?
Gosh, I mean, I would hope that, like, in 5 or 10 years, I'm, like, doing my headline tour. I mean the goal for me would be, like, to completely create an entire experience for people to, you know, submerge themselves in, and, like, create so many, like, visuals to, like, completely, like, just be inside my brain and, like, working with people that, like, can understand what I mean and, like, take it and run with it and be like, and like cause, like, even working with my producer, right? Like, I give him literally, like, freaking, like, mixture of words that sometimes don't even make sense. And he, like, comes up with it and, like, it's, like, absolutely exactly what I wanted and more, you know? So it's, like, I'm really excited to work with a bunch of different creatives that are able to, you know, that, like, just get me. And yeah. Then not just that, but then being able to, like, create a space and an experience for people to be able to feel their feelings and be able to, like, cry if they want to, or jump around if they want to, and, like, wear as many colors and glitter as, like, they want to, you know, like, and then, like, with, like, there's, like, so many, like, I just, like, see so many lights, like, and then just dancing and, like, joy being created. And so I'm, like, just, I'm really excited about that. And, like, I'm hoping that that's where I'm going, you know. But
are you getting to play out anywhere now?
So actually, I did a lot of my playing live the last couple of years, because I've been, like, rehearsing, like, okay, practicing that. But right now, I am more taking the time to, like, go and write songs, just, like, kind of, like, bunkering down. So as of right now, I do have a performance scheduled for Eddie's Attic.
Okay.
It's in March. And you can find more about it on my Instagram. In my social media, like, yeah, or my website, and it's musicbylala.com. And yeah, but I'm really hoping this year to just, like, do a lot more writing and a lot more crafting songs, and yeah, like, if I get opportunities here and there that allow me to, like, play live to, like, a couple, like, 100 people or something, like, I absolutely, like, take that. Like, I'm never one to, like, say no to opportunities, but I think that's where I see myself right now. It's just, like, focusing more on writing and growing my social media.
There is a, you've been to Mad Life, and mm-hmm. there is a Undiscovered Artist Showcase. They do monthly. They do monthly. So you should sign up for that and play. You get, like, 3 songs.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah. It's I actually did it last year.
Oh, did you do that one?
Yeah, yeah. I did. It was great. That's actually where I met Kenny.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. He saw me play, and then he came up to me. He's like, "Whoa! Like, we should definitely hang out." And I, me and Kenny have been writing ever since. So.
Kenny is a really good writer.
He's an amazing writer.
Yes,
he's
I was going to ask you if you co-write, because I love co-writing too.
Yeah.
And anytime you want to write, I'm up for writing. I love co-writing.
Shut up.
Every time.
Okay. Yeah.
Me and Kenny talked about writing too, because he came up here. Kenny Owens, your ears are probably burning right now, brother. He's in the Georgia versus Pennsylvania thing. He's one of the artists from Georgia side. Mm-hmm. And he came up here, like you did, to the show to do an interview. And he did, 1 year, he did the Georgia, North Carolina, I think. That's the first time I actually talked to him. I hadn't actually met him until he actually came up to the show. And so he jumps on my drum, because I don't know if you know about Kenny, is he used to be a drummer in a rap band. in the 90s.
Yeah.
And he's really, really good.
Yeah.
But he's country as hell. You wouldn't think
that.
No,
it's so funny. It's so funny. He showed me, like, pictures of him when he was, like,
had
younger
long hair.
Doing
yeah.
it. And I'm like, like, radio interviews. I'm like, what?
Uh-huh. He went on, like, tour with, like, Ice-T. And, I mean, he was signed with Interscope Records.
Yeah. And you, now you look at him, you're like, what?
Yes, it's what? Funny. So if he's writing with you too, I mean, that's yes, you'll have some great song. He's really good about that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we're absolutely right. Anytime you want to.
Amazing. So, I'd definitely take you up on that.
Let's do another song. Which one do you want to do next?
Let's see. Let's do Four Letters. That's okay. The second song that I put out. It's called Four Letters, and it's
go ahead, tell
me about. I was really in love during this period of my life. And it was actually the first co-writing session I ever had. It was at a songwriter's retreat. It was the first day, first write of the day. And someone brought up like that they had just had a child and they were just like experiencing like a level of love that they had never experienced before.
Really?
Yeah. And then we kind of like made it a little bit more about like romance, especially because I was also in a like very deep in the honeymoon stage. I had just moved in with my boyfriend, ex-boyfriend. and
sanity.
No, it was a different breakup, okay. Actually. Yeah. But very deep in the honeymoon stage. And so, like, we were just trying to make it sound as, like your heart exploding as possible. And when I went to the studio, that's exactly what I just, like, went in telling my producer. I'm like, I just want people's heart to explode when they hear this. And so that's what's happening. This one's called Four Letters. It's not an argument that you were heaven sent, 'cause every day I pray that you'd be here with me. And it is plain to see that we were meant to be, 'cause when you're next to me I feel completely free. Two hearts, one beat, you are a part of me, and I will never let you go. You're the one I'll always run to, 'cause there is no me without you. Always, whenever, with you life is better. I was lost until I found you, now there is no without you, it's more than four letters. This love is forever. The way you speak to me is like angels in harmony, and every breath I take is yours to take away. Two hearts, one beat, you are a part of me, and I will never let you go. You're the one I'll always run to, 'cause there is no me without you. Always, whenever, with you life is better. I was lost until I found you, now there is no without you, it's more than four letters. This love is forever. I'll never forget that night when you said the days ahead will be the best yet. This is our forever. This is our forever. Even when the going starts going tough, I'll be the last one out there holding you up. I'm never gonna leave, baby, you better believe that this is our forever. This is our forever. This is our forever. This is our forever. You're the one.
you always whenever. With you life is better. I was lost until I found you. Now there is no me without you. It's more than four letters. This love is forever.
All right, and we are back.
We are back.
At least talking anyway. That song has such a good hook.
Thank you.
That is a really, really good song.
Thank you so much.
I was telling you earlier, I think everybody has like one hit in them. I could see that it's relatable for young girls who want to find love, and it's clever in a way that you could see it on. I'm sitting there listening to it. It reminded me of earlier Taylor Swift when she would sit there and sing about her love stories and stuff.
Yeah.
Again, it's got that childish spunk mentality with it, and that is definitely your bread and butter. That sounds really good.
I like Thank that. You so much.
It's clever. Like, this love is for, it's a four-letter word, and then you say love, and the songwriter, I mean, it's like, oh, I'm trying not to talk while you're singing. It's like,
you're like, there it is. I got it. Yeah, I don't want to ruin the surprise, but like there's layers to this. So guys, you guys should go follow me on my social media so you guys see what is coming, because honestly, I didn't see it coming when it came. So y'all are not going to see it coming when it comes.
Yeah, that's, like I said, that's any social media, anybody you want to give shouts out, you're more than welcome to do that.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, you can follow me everywhere at Music by Lala. Music by LALA.
Now, we'll get one more song in here in a little bit, and then I do like a 20 question kind of game.
Okay, I love that.
It's kind of a fun, randomized kind of question stuff.
Yeah.
But your projects that you're working on. Mm-hmm. So what can you say about the projects that you got going on?
Okay, so it is my first EP that's coming out, and it's really funny because I've like shot so much. Like last year, it's almost like if you go on my social media right now, it's like, you know, you can get like a taste of who I am, mm-hmm. for sure, but so much has gone on behind the scenes. I have been working my tail off, like not just performing, but also like recording videos and going to different locations and shooting content. And now like I'm kind of like taking a step back and seeing like, when should I put all this stuff out? Because, you know, part of me, like my creative really like side wants to just like put everything out like as it comes. But that is so unstrategic. And right now I have to have both hats on. And so, yeah, what's coming is a lot of like songs that I've been playing out downtown or like just, at different venues, and people that had come see me live, like they know those songs, but everyone else online like has no idea. And I've been playing those songs for like, again, like a year and a half. And I have like a couple music videos already like in the back end. And yeah, the EP, I will say, it does have four tracks. So you have the two first tracks out now, and there's two more tracks coming. And then after that, there's just like so much more music coming after that. But these four tracks really encapsulate like such a specific moment in my life. That, and it was also like the beginnings of my career, the beginnings of me learning myself as a songwriter, and me learning what it meant to be an artist. And a lot of it, you can, and it has a lot of angst to it, like it has a lot of like because that's honestly what I was going through. So, but it's also like you think like four letters is lovey-dovey. Mm-hmm. I have like another song that's coming out that's like lovey-dovey, but like towards, you know, the what ifs of life, you know, and what it means to like even jump in head first, like not knowing. I have like no connections here in the United States, like in regards to music. Like I didn't know if anyone would want to listen to me, like a lot of these things. So I have quite a few songs that like really take people on the journey of what my mind was going through when I was like deciding, okay, I'm going to do this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Do you speak, I'm assuming you speak more than one language, right?
Yes, I speak a couple languages.
How many languages do you speak?
So, fluently, I speak two. Spanish and English are my main, like, Spanish was my first language. English is very much learned with a lot of Urban Dictionary and country music.
But be careful, the Urban Dictionary mixed with the country dictionary. They don't quite flow the
same. Right, it doesn't flow the same. But Word. Yeah, no, Urban Dictionary was like my best friend growing up. It was like, it's like a lot of people thought I was like dumb or something because I just didn't get a lot of the references. Cause like, I feel like I got the American accent down so I could fool people into thinking that I was like born here. But
yeah, you don't. I wouldn't know that you're Colombian if you didn't, with your accent.
Exactly. But then a lot of the references of like growing up here, like I grew up completely different. So yeah. They were like, what do you mean you don't know this TV show? What do you mean you don't know like this like song? What do you mean you don't know like what XYZ means, or like just different terminology, especially like people like love to listen to rap music. I don't listen to a lot of rap music, but like where I grew up, like in Florida, everyone listened to rap music. So I didn't get like a lot of the references, and I was really naive, really sheltered, you know, like I really lived in my own little bubble. Like, yeah. So, Urban Dictionary, I would be like in the back, like when my friends were talking, like, what are they saying? but I also know a bit of French, and I studied Chinese for 4 years, and I also studied Arabic for about a year and a half.
Okay. Now that you mentioned these, you got to say something in all these languages.
Okay. So let's say in Chinese, I can say like, 我喜欢 汉堡包, which means I love burgers.
But she doesn't because she came out as vegetarian.
Well, veggie burgers. let's say... Well, I ni is also in Chinese, so that means I love you. A mí me encanta escuchar y bailar Shakira, las canciones de Shakira. Me encanta pararme y empezar a bailar. So that was Spanish.
Okay.
And I said, I love dancing and singing. Shakira songs.
Who doesn't?
Let's say khalas means stop in Arabic. French. Oh my god, it's like, oh, you know what I didn't mention, but Portuguese, I think out of all the ones I mentioned, I'm like, so I think fluency wise it goes like Spanish and English tied, then it goes into Portuguese because Portuguese is like really similar to Spanish. So eu falo um pouquinho português, mas eu não sou la melhor, meu acento é muy de espanhol. So I just said I was in Portuguese and I was saying that I speak a little bit of Portuguese, but like my accent like is not the best. Like I speak like a Spanish person trying to speak Portuguese.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I get everything?
Yeah, I think so. I'm just enjoying
au revoir. Au revoir.
All the different languages and stuff.
The French.
Say I speak hillbilly. That's about
hillbilly.
That's about all I got. That's all I got for you. So like, it's funny because you learn your accent. And this is what amazes me too, when people sing, like when they have thick accents, how they can just sing in normal tones and you don't even realize it, right?
Yeah.
And here you are from Colombia, but you sound more American than I do. And I'm country as hell too, so I come out with an accent. I think it's funny. It just amazes me that somebody can pick it up, the language and the accent, and you wouldn't even know it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was quite hard for a bit. Like, it's really funny because, like, if you listen to, like, my sister and my mom, like, they have been in the States for as long as I have, but, like, they sound like they just jumped off the boat, you know? But I was really adamant about, like, learning and, like, really, like, infiltrating the culture and the society. I'm like, okay, if I'm here, like, I really want to be part of it. And especially like for like acting and like singing roles, like I wanted to like not just be typecasted or like pushed aside as like, so there was a lot of like, I just I just got to make it happen. And I did. So, yeah.
See, there was a lady that came on a show years ago, 2019, maybe 2020. Her name is Allie Bay. She's a local singer-songwriter here. She could speak multiple languages because she used to live in China.
Nice.
And so she did some kind of music show in China and placed, I can't remember now because it's a long conversation, but I always like that. So if you tell me you can do something, you gotta be careful because I will ask you to, yeah. to do it. Now, have you ever thought about incorporating like different dialects like that or different languages into a song?
I've thought about incorporating Spanish into it. I think that would be really cool. Like, I've always had this idea of, like, you know how a lot of country songs talk about, like, oh, I met this girl down in Mexico, and, you know, she was the love of my life or something like that. Yeah. But then
I don't know why country doesn't
her.
Go south. We don't go farther than Mexico.
No, that's Mexico is the place. Yeah, exactly. It's, like, usually Cancun, Mexico, staying there. But I was thinking, like, it would be really, really cool to have like a female perspective of like the girl who like does meet like a cowboy and like kind of like having a little bit of like Spanish there, here and there. So that's definitely a one in the brain that I want to make happen.
I will let you hear something at the end too. I'm working on a flamenco song.
What?
And it's there's an artist named Maria De Rosario. She's going to do it too, but you're more welcome to listen as well. And if you want to partake and be part on it, please do. I love flamenco guitars. And like I said earlier, I have musical Tourette, so I like to do all different kind of styles.
Yeah.
And so I wrote the song. It's called Mi Amor, right? Well, that's the only language I
Mi
speak.
Amor, yeah.
Mi Amor. So I'm like, what would it be? It would be cool if the bridge was a speaking in Spanish. Doing
yeah.
like the bridge stuff. So if you want to look at it and write it, write that part out, let me know.
That'd be super dope.
I'll let you hear it at the end because it's a great song. It's just, and I want flamenco guitar in it. So that's going to be, I know one flamenco guitar player. So I know I'm going to get some.
That's it's definitely not me.
It's not me. I can play guitar, but I can't do that.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that and it made me think of it. And I'll let you hear it at the end after we stop recording on that.
Perfect.
Part.
Yeah.
So we're going to do one more song for you guys. She's going to play one more. So whichever song you want to do. And when your EP is done, I meant to mention, if you want to come back and do like a album review.
Nice. Yeah.
It's basically kind of what we're doing now is you tell me the story and then we listen to the song. So
okay.
We'll pull it up on Spotify or wherever it's at and listen to it.
So I won't play the stuff from my EP.
No, we listen to it.
Yeah.
And I don't critique it. I never do that. That's not my business to critique. It's my opinion. What does it matter? What we do is it'll make me think of stuff, but we'll have a conversation like we're doing right now.
I also would like to hear your honest opinion. So
okay, yeah, I tell everybody. I mean, I won't tell you if I think it sucks. I'm just not going to do that because it's again, it's my opinion. But I will tell you what I like about it and what it reminds me of.
Okay.
So
yeah,
because I had one guy come on here and his name is Ricky Combs. He had an 18 song set and I'm like, okay,
wow, 18.
It was the longest. I'm like, we can do it. I don't care.
He said the full album.
Yes, but he got me thinking. Like, I want to do an album called The Greatest Hits You've Never Heard. And
whoa.
It's because I have stuff with a band that we do, but there's stuff that I do as a songwriter that doesn't fit with a band.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do an album, the greatest, and it's just be me and guitar and whatever I think of at the time. And I got one song out, but I want to make it. And it's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do like a big greatest hits volume of stuff that's just me and then put it out there.
Amazing. I'm excited to see it.
Oh, give me a couple years.
Going back to the accent thing, though, it's really funny because, like, depending on like my level of excitement,
mm-hmm.
I sometimes you can tell like that, like my Spanish accent will come out.
Okay.
And so like my song Four Letters that is out right now, maybe like no one can hear it, but I can hear it. There's like I think one or two words where like my English accent slips and you can like hear that I'm like Latina. And like I think about that and I'm like, whoa, it's funny how I left it in the song. But yeah, listen out for it if you driving in your car or something. Just play, be like, try and figure out which word did I say not in an American accent.
Now, do you have to really focus on your accent?
No, not at all.
Is it natural now?
Yeah, now, like, it's really hard for me to actually, like, let's say if I was trying to sound like not American, mm-hmm. it would suck. Like I can't like I've had people come up to me before and ask me like, can you speak like Sofia Vergara? I'm like, no. Like I can speak like an American trying to speak Spanish. I can do that accent pretty well. Yeah.
There is an artist in North Carolina I met. His name is William Neesmith. Uh-huh. And William, again, I like to talk about other artists that I meet. He has a very high singing voice and speaking voice, but he has one song. I'll let you hear it off here, where he raps. And his voice changes. And you don't think it's him. And if I hadn't seen him do it on the video for the Georgia Versus series, I would have thought it was somebody else that just sang with him. It's so cool that people can just flip it. And I mean, it's a major flip. And that's why I ask. It's always funny because you can tell I have an accent. I can't change it. If I try to sound country, I just talk.
You just talk.
To sound more country, it sounds worse. So I mean,
I wouldn't say worse. It sounds different.
Yeah, you can say worse. It sounds like shit, but that's all right. So we're going to let you hear one more song. Okay. What's the last song you want to do?
I think I'm going to do this song called Burst the Bubble.
Burst the Bubble.
Burst the Bubble. I wrote it pretty recently, and it's been one of my favorites that I've written.
Okay. So you know I like stories, so tell me a story before we get you all set up.
Oh, gosh. I was going through a breakup. Classic. No, but for this song, it was like, there was a lot of in this relationship that I felt like just like this massive amount of confusion during it, where like I didn't know what was true, what wasn't, like what was happening. Like I just felt like I kept trying like my hardest to do everything and try and like salvage this relationship. And then when I was out of it, I ended up realizing, oh no, this person just like didn't really have my best intentions in mind, and they were kind of just like vouching for themselves and they were being a little bit narcissistic. So during that time where I was just like, I like see it now, I see how like in the game I was, and I didn't think I was being, you know, but that I thought it was like really real, and then I was like, I saw it all. So that's basically what the song's about.
Okay.
Bursting the bubble.
I already like the title. The hook.
I don't remember how it starts, I just remember how it ends. How I'm crying while you're acting like it's all pretend. Like the words you say don't hurt me, like I'm choosing to feel like this, like you're the reason that I am worthy, and I'm the reason you can't find happiness. So long to all your problems. You were the one, but I was seeing double. I should have known that you were trouble. And as I'm sitting in this rubble, baby, I burst the bubble, now I see clearly. I see you making all the rules. You bend and break them, but I get schooled. I was so blind and so confused. I gave you everything, so I've got nothing to prove. So long to all your problems. You were the one, but I was seeing double. I should have known that you were trouble. And as I'm sitting in this rubble, baby, I burst the bubble, now I see clearly. You wanna control with love and fear. Oh, your behavior straight out of the textbook, dear. So long to all your problems. You were the one, but I was seeing double. I should've known that you were trouble. And as I'm sitting in this rubble, baby, I burst the bubble, now I see you clearly.
Squeaky chair has returned. You can't help it with a squeaky chair. That, again, that's one of those songs that the stop and starts I like, because it kind of, those songs get me sometimes, because like, are you good? Do I clap? Do I not clap? It's relatable. You have a very relatable style about you.
Thank you.
So a lot of, like I said, again, it might be early Taylor Swift, where the teenage girls and the, I can see a teenage girl's following that, and like, because they feel it. I mean, a lot of times it's their first love, and it's always hard, and they don't realize that there's more to come. there's better, bigger fish in the sea, better fish in the sea. There's always the another end of the rainbow.
Right.
And so at the end, in the moment of breakup, it hurts. It's relatable. Everybody goes through it. And I like it.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yep. So that was good.
Yay. Thank I'm glad you like it. It's like literally the shortest song I've ever written.
Yeah, because you had pauses and then you stopped. And I'm like, do I hit? Do I stop?
Do I stop? Well, and I honestly, I love that you're having that reaction because it felt very like I was saying, like I really wanted to encapsulate this like feeling of confusion to then hitting the chorus and like there's like a release of like, so long to all your problems. And I love the line, you were the one, but I was seeing double.
Yes. I got, when you said I got school, that line stuck out to me. Mm-hmm. I really like that part. But the songs that, even though it's short, sometimes that's all that matters.
That's all I needed to say. It literally felt like once I finished it, I was like, that's all I needed to say. Like, that's
How long is it?
So I think it's like around like 2 minutes and 30 seconds or
that's
something.
Fine.
Yeah.
Because it felt shorter than that, which if it's 2:30, that's good.
Yeah.
That's how I can judge it. To me, that's how I judge songs. Like if you're listening to a song and it's 7 minutes long and it doesn't feel like 7 minutes long, then you got a good song. Free Bird, Stairway to Heaven. They're long songs, right? But everybody loves them. There's parts of it that continue to grow and makes the song the song.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes you can have a song that's 2 minutes 30 seconds, but it feels longer.
Yeah,
because you've lost the audience. That right. Song didn't lose me.
It amazing. Thank so you.
You did exactly what you wanted to with it.
Heck yeah. Yeah, I see like so many visuals with this song of like almost like being in like a complete like a building, like rubble, and like waking up, and like there's just so many visuals that I get when I play this song. It's like so fun.
See, the visual I got when you're sitting there thinking about it was because, again, it's like a girl that's learning that she's in it. I see her surrounded by like animals, her stuffies, right?
Yeah.
In the bed crying, marking out this picture of this guy that was horrible to her. And then by the time it starts jumping up, she gets on the bed, she starts jumping up and down, she's throwing stuff around, and she's having a good time.
Okay, you are not going to believe this, but I have, so, oh my God, the clip of, one of the clips that I'm not going to end up using, but it was for my Sanity music video, is actually exactly that.
Really?
It's me sitting on, it was like my friend's, like, room full of paintings and colors and tapestries, and they had like so many stuffed animals, and I'm sitting in like my sweatshirt, like surrounded by these stuffed animals, literally on my journal, like scribbling out, like I was like, did he watch this? Like,
I haven't.
That's crazy that you like visualize that same thing.
Maybe because I have a teenage girl and she's surrounded by stuffies, and I just see it because, like I said, it's relatable to that. That's your music is what I hear. That's what makes me think of teen angst. You know, I was never a teenage girl, obviously, but I understand having one, what it's like. And to get the other aspect of it, it actually brings me as a listener into the story.
Yeah.
And that's what you, as a songwriter, you did your job.
Oh my God. Ah, I just got shivers. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Oh,
so we got a couple like questions we're gonna do at the end we're about to do, but before we do that, tell everybody where they can find you, all your social media, wherever you want them to look for you.
Okay, so you can find me everywhere at Music by Lala. That is on TikTok, on Instagram. If you want to check out my website, which I worked really hard on with this lady, she's amazing. She was one of those creatives that got exactly my vision and just put it into a website, and it feels like I threw up all over it. If you want to check it out, it's called it's musicbylala.com. And I think the only one that's different is a YouTube. That one's like Lala Luna Music. Okay. But if you just type in Lala Luna, it should appear.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's what do you have a certain social media that you use more than the others that works the best, probably?
Oh goodness. So if you want the inside scoop on my life, you can go on TikTok. That's where I post like a little bit more messy. Instagram, I use as well. I don't know. I go between all three like quite constantly. Actually, there's this one app I started using a lot more recently that's like not part of the trifecta. Uh-huh. It's called Lapse. Have you heard of it?
I've never heard of it.
So Laps is this app that basically asks of you to like basically take the picture, mm-hmm. and then it like immediately doesn't let you see it. So it's developing, and it's like kind of it's like reminiscent of like old timey photos. Okay. So basically it's asking you to be really present by like just taking a picture and forgetting it exists. And then you'll get like a notification like in 5 hours, sometimes it's 3 hours, sometimes like 30 minutes. And it tells you like your pictures are ready. And then they put like a filter on it, and then you can decide to like share it with people or archive it. So I've been using that a lot because I love photography and I love just like taking pictures of a bunch of things, but I don't like being like super perfectionist about it. So, and I love like seeing other people like just enjoying that. So I've been using that a lot more, and it's also really cool because like if you look at the app, it like separates each month, so you can see like how was your December, all the pictures that you took in December, all the pictures that you took in January, and people can see them too. So it's been really cool to, so that I've been using Laps a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm still in MySpace.
Yeah. I don't use Facebook a lot. MySpace never really crossed my mind.
Not anybody. I don't know how to get back on my MySpace. I have a MySpace. I couldn't tell you how to get on it.
Yeah. You know, which was my first social media ever. It was called High Five. Did you ever hear of High Five?
No, I've never heard of it.
That one was like, I was still in Columbia. It was like, we had like a computer lab class, and that's the thing that like people started using. And I guess it was kind of like an off-brand MySpace because like you could still create like a wallpaper, mm-hmm. And add a couple songs here and there. So yeah, that was like the first one that I ever had. So
that's cool.
Yeah,
that's
high five.
Really cool. High five.
If you're out there and you also use High Five, hey, I'm not alone.
Right?
Yeah.
Man, I've had such a fun time with you, Lala.
Oh my goodness, I've had such a great time.
So we're not done. I have to spin a wheel. Like, we'll do. See, I could send these off. Somebody's like, "What'd you do Patreon?" Like, I don't know. I'd give, but this would be like behind the scenes stuff that I edit. Would be probably what it is. But here's my 20 questions. I need to get it there for it. Okay, this might be good. What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten?
Oh my goodness, the weirdest thing I've ever eaten. Gosh, I feel like I have to think about this a little bit longer. But I've always been really picky about like what I eat, mm-hmm. so. I'm a very
since
picky
she came
eater.
Out as vegetarian.
No, literally. I've been a very picky eater in my entire life, but I guess the weirdest thing was I've eaten ants before.
Okay.
Yeah. This is funny. I was actually just talking about this with my friend. They're like, "What?" I was like in Colombia a lot of the times, like I guess we didn't use pesticide. I don't know what it is, but we just had like some like little yellow ants. I don't know if you know, like the sugar ants, I guess they're called. I don't know what they're called, but they would get into like my cereal, like my Frosted Flakes. And then I'd pour it and I wouldn't see them. And then I would like, I know exactly what ant tastes like. Like
that, they do have a sugary taste to them.
No, I don't know about sugary taste to them, but there's nothing out there that tastes like ant. I will say. So that is the weirdest thing I've had.
Because that's my day job, is I have a pest control company.
Oh, no way.
Yes.
Now, I had no idea.
Yep. So like the sugar ants here, they're black. They're little black. Tiny black pavement. People call them sugar ants. They're little pavement ants. But yeah, they got it like a sugary taste. Because I remember as a kid, like same thing. You like eat them, like, what's that? Now then you realize you're eating an ant.
Yeah. I guess like, I don't even know if I want to say this one. If I had to like pick another one, I remember like being like, I've just been like such a curious child. Like I haven't stopped being a curious child. I remember when I was younger, I tried like some of my dog's food. Oh. Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Next.
Yes.
That was great. That was not great, actually. Yeah, well, it's disgusting.
I've tried dog biscuits. I've had my older son. I was like, hey, you try this, I'll try it. So I had to take a bite of a dog biscuit. He had it. It was like very dry and kind of not a lot of flavor to it at all.
Yeah. Well, did you try one of like the milk biscuits or one of
the milk bombs?
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Okay. That's not like too bad. I just straight up tried like kibble. Yeah.
Kids are curious. I remember I don't remember, my mom told me a story when I was a baby, like maybe a toddler, I guess, 2 years old, is she had a one of those childproof locks, uh-huh. where the kerosene was. Well, I broke the lock. I got into it somehow. And so I'm dipping my fingers in kerosene, and I'm licking the kerosene off my fingers. She freaked out and called, like, the poison control and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not enough. He's not going to be hurt.
Okay, that's crazy.
What's the soundtrack of your life?
Right now? Mm-hmm. Right now, the soundtrack of my life is this artist that I found literally last week. Her name is Chapel Roan. And I have been streaming her entire album, like, on repeat. Like, yep. Just, I get into my car, I'm streaming her, like, put headphones in, I'm streaming her. It's been really crazy because, like, a lot of her visuals are very similar to mine, but at the same time, like, it's so completely different. And, like, she's a pop diva. And, yeah, she talks a lot about, like, her current, sexualities and stuff, so it's been really interesting because I've never like really listened to a lot of like that kind of music. But
did she come out as a vegetarian too?
I don't know if she has. I'm still learning about her. But she's hella queer, so it's been really interesting to hear like a female's perspective on liking other girls. And she does it in such a way that it's like so fun. Mm-hmm. To just like bop around and sing along to. So yeah, if you guys want some new music, definitely check out Music by Lala first, but then yes, you should check out some Chapel Roan. She's great.
See, that's what I tell everybody on the show. I always ask two things of the guest. First is, when it comes out, share it. Which way you do all this, I don't have a problem you sharing it. I have to see you sharing it. Second is, if you know of any other artists, songwriters, bands, whatever, that we should know about, send them my way, and we'll do what me and you just did. We'll have a conversation. We'll do an album review. Whatever they want to do, we'll do that.
Yeah. Well, she's about to go on tour with Olivia Rodrigo, but maybe she'll have some time to like pass by. Yeah. Yes.
But you can tell me some local ones too if you run into some local artists.
For sure, for sure.
But yeah, bigger names are welcome. Dolly Parton, I've been trying to get on this for about a year.
Oh, Dolly.
Don't we all
want a piece of her time?
Oh, I would love. She's so instrumental in songwriting. And that's what the whole podcast is for. I mean, even for, it's a lot for women, obviously, but I mean, just in general, she is just, everybody loves Dolly.
No, I've recently gotten like closer and inspiration to like taking inspiration from her, like just as a businesswoman. Oh, yeah. As well. And how strategic she has been like throughout her entire career, like, oh, yeah, just from the beginning of like the way that she just owned so much of her, you know, the way that she wanted to present herself. And not just that, but then like I recently was watching an award show and she shows up like with a goat, and I'm like, this lady is exactly it. Like,
yeah,
exactly the energy that I want to be putting out into the world of this, like, I don't care, like, I'm free as a bird, and like, try and stop me, you know, kind of like, that's the vibe that she gives. Like, yep, no one can stop me. Like, she knows she's Dolly Parton, and like, and I love that, like, she is not afraid to be weird. Yeah,
that's what everybody loves about Dolly. Everybody loves Dolly Parton. Dolly, if you're listening, please come on the show.
Please come on the show.
I'm going to keep asking until you say no. All right, here's one. Have you ever had a paranormal experience?
Have I ever had a paranormal experience? Yeah.
So?
Yeah, my, I guess the most tangible one that I like remember so vividly was, my little brother. So like my little brother, so my mom had him when I was 12.
Okay.
So I was around like probably like 14. No, I was like 13 when this happened. So he was like barely a year old, and he, like, I was taking care of him and I was watching him while like my mom was gone. Like, I was the only one in the house, and he like stands up in his little crib and like literally just starts laughing, and I'm like, what's going on? And so like I grab him and I like get scared, and then he like looks at the corner of like the room and starts like continues to laugh, and just like this, he was like straight up asleep like a second ago, now he's like fully woken up laughing, cracking up, points at the corner of the room that is completely empty, and then like does one of these. This is a baby. I'm like, I grabbed him and I ran. I ran outside the house and I waited for my mom to come home outside of the house. I was like, there's no way. There's like, your room is haunted. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. That reminded me of one, my nephew, that he was a baby. And babies have a tendency to see things that we can't.
Yeah.
I 100% believe that. So he was up here with my sister and they're in a car. And he just starts waving outside the window. And my sister goes, wait a minute. Papa. Papa had been dead since I was 15 years old. He's just waving at him. And he's never met him. But to say his name and to wave.
And to wave?
I was like, okay. That was
no.
There's been a couple
freaky.
Here.
Yeah. No, I will never forget like me being with my little brother and him like pointing at an empty wall, to then making it go around like it was like coming towards us. I was like, I'm alone. I don't know how to deal with this. I ran.
I don't blame you one bit. A couple more questions.
Okay.
What's the one secret you still keep from your parents?
I can't say that. What? Oh, gosh. Are we for real?
Uh-huh. You told them now they can't. You're past the date where they can actually get you in trouble, right?
I don't think you understand Latin families.
I don't.
Okay, what's a secret that I've kept from my mom or my dad?
And then when they get onto you, I want to hear the story of them getting onto you.
Oh, gosh. Well, this was just like by omittance, I guess, but I had my first kiss on our farm and like in a trampoline with one of the workers, with like one of the kids of the workers. I was a little child and yeah, we kissed. There you go. That's my secret.
That's the only one she's willing to say, Mom.
Yeah, so that's the only one I'm willing to say.
She's going to have to ask you like, well, now you need to tell me the rest of it. What happened?
Oh, Mom.
I had, it was funny. I told my mom when she got older, because it was one of the things where I kept it. I can't get in trouble now. You know, what are you going to do, whoop me? I don't. Latin family don't understand. I'm sure if I was in a Latin family, they would whoop me constantly.
Yeah, they're like, I don't care that you're
right.
37.
I tell my kids now, I don't care how old you get.
I don't care if you're 50.
Right?
Yeah.
Can grab my shoe.
Grab my chancla. Freaking, yeah, no.
Did you ever get whooped with stuff like that?
Oh, yeah.
What do they used to whoop you with?
Oh, goodness. Do we want to get into this? I got the belt quite a bit. Yeah, then I kind of stopped being scared of it. So, kind of switched.
Did they ever tell you to go get your own switch?
To get what?
A switch.
A switch?
That's what we call it here in the South, is a switch. So, like, if you get in trouble, go grab your switch. It's a stick. Go grab a stick so they can whoop you with it. That was they call it a switch.
Wow, and you got to get your own stick.
And they have to go get your own.
Oh, yes. That's crazy.
That's a country-ass thing that people would know.
They wow.
Go, I'm like, okay, I'm going to get the fragilest one that I can find. And here you go.
Wow. I've heard of some of my Latin friends say that, like, they were whooped with a cable, which is kind of crazy.
Yep.
A cable's kind of crazy. A belt. I understand.
I had a friend of mine whoop me with his mom whooped me with a wooden spoon.
With a wooden spoon?
I was beating up her son.
Yeah.
We were playing and I was winning. And so she's like, you leave my boy alone.
Yeah. I've definitely dodged shoes before. So that one was a fun time.
That is funny. That is funny. See?
Dodge shoes left and right.
I'm
like,
coming
oh my
to
God.
The next family barbecue.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I got one more question for
putting
you.
Putting my family on blast.
Oh, yep. They're going to be mad at you. You're in trouble. Yeah. You're going to get your own switch. No. Tell everybody, what I'd like to end the show on this little tidbit, is what's the best advice you've ever received that you could share with everyone else?
Wow. Best ever. About like musicianship
anything
or just like
in
anything,
life,
anything in life.
Anything that pops to your mind. There's no right or wrong answer for it. Don't tell family secrets, apparently.
Yeah. So the best advice I've ever received.
What sticks out to you? What sticks out the most? What comes in handy the most for you?
Yeah. No, I'm trying to find like what has actually helped me the most, because I do want to like be helpful. I think right now what has really been inspiring me the most is to really own my truth and to stand in it.
Okay.
And to basically like re-own a lot of like aspects of myself that I have maybe disowned throughout the years, and just like lovingly own them and lovingly face them and take them in and not be ashamed of them, but instead just like be like, accept them. And if I really like want to change them, to just do so, but not like pretend like it's not there, you know, but instead like acknowledge it and own it. And yeah,
that's really good, because we mentioned it earlier in the show, is you got a spunk, a child spunk that you still have, and it's infectious. And I hope you never lose that, because if it's taking you to learn to do that, then that attitude, I told you before, will get you wherever you need to go. Will you get what you see in vision? Will you be doing the Grammys? You never know. Can you say no? Can you say yes? Who knows? But if you keep your attitude, you can only get better, because that's one thing I found with songwriters when they get to where their dream and like, oh, I haven't made it, and I'll use quotation marks, is because they're so focused on a goal that is so far and hard to attain that they're missing the steps.
Yeah.
And there's things that, like for me, I have like small goals. Like I had a goal where when I was younger, I wanted to write a song. I wrote a song. My next goal is I want to get it recorded. I recorded it. Then I had a goal of I want to start a band. Did a band. I want to get an album out. I want to do a live EP. I did all that stuff. And you know, and then I build off of that. Because I mean, the end goal is obviously like get to Grand Ole Opry. What happened? I'm too old.
Dream.
That it's, I'll go as a visitor. That's about the only way I'm getting on. And I'm okay with that. But I set other goals, because if you're worried about the ones you don't make, you're never going to make the goals that are attainable.
Right.
And with your attitude, you're just going to keep stepping. And I see that you can make it someday. Just keep trying.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Because you're going to be an inspiration to other little girls who come behind you.
Oh my goodness. That's all I dream of.
Yeah. And that's, as a songwriter, that's your goal, is to make somebody happy, to make somebody cry, to make somebody think. And you've done it. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm learning new things. I'm learning some Spanish culture, some different languages. And while I remember it, probably not, I'm old stuff, I forget more than I remember, but I have been inspired for music. And that's kind of what I do this for, because I want to be inspired. I get more inspired by you guys than anything, because when I come on a show, it's all about networking. It's all about giving anybody a platform to promote their music, right? But it's also to meet other people, to co-write, to take that extra chance, because we know this business is a network. You know, even if you're independent artist, it's still a network. It's who you know, who you meet, and you move forward. And that's what I like about doing this and meeting people like yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly like the reason why I also love this industry, is like meeting so many really cool people that like have shown me, like I thought I knew what I wanted. I thought I understood it. And then I actually started doing it and meeting people and understanding how big this world is and how many avenues there are and how many possibilities for life there are. And it's been so interesting to like hear everyone's perspective and journey. So I actually just thought of, like, just on the back end of that, another really important advice that I stumbled upon was the difference between those that do and those that don't is that those that do yeah. Is that those that do actually sit down and do it, you know? Because I feel like sometimes, even myself in my journey, I think there was a period in time where like I knew I really wanted to be a songwriter, but like I wouldn't sit down and write because the X, Y, and Z reason. But right. Then once you actually like start doing it, that's when you actually start becoming that person. And like, same with the gym, right? Like you're like, I want to get to the gym and I want to like have a 6-pack abs. Well, the difference between you and you with the 6-pack abs is the fact that you with the 6-pack abs is actually doing it. Mm-hmm. So.
And vegetarian helps with some of that.
Vegetarian does help with some of that.
I love meat, but veggies do help.
Yes, veggies do help.
Well, thank you again, Lala, for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been such a blast.
It has been. I could talk to you for more hours. we could continue to go on. We'll talk about off air too.
Yeah. But
tell everybody again one more time before they find you. I don't know if you're still recording on yours, but guys, yes, she's been a pleasure. Follow Lala Luna. Guys, listen to the show. Find her. She's available everywhere. Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find you one more time.
You can find me on Spotify and Apple Music at Lala Luna. And you can find me on my social medias at Music by Lala. And you can find my most recent single, Four Letters, out now on all platforms.
All right, everybody. This is the Georgia Songbirds, and that was Miss Lala Luna. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.